If you get a book that is the life of a famous person, often you find there's a lot about their parents, a lot about their childhood, maybe the schools they went to, the people who taught them, all the influences on their life. Then you can understand the person they became. So somebody might ask, what did our president do when he was a boy? Who was influencing him? Who were his uncles? What did they teach him? But with Jesus, there is only one event from his boyhood. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can read them all. You find only one event from the time when he finished being a baby up until the time when he began to preach at around 30 years old. And it's here in Luke. So this is a precious passage. They didn't need to write a lot about his boyhood, because Jesus came down from heaven. He didn't learn to be the Holy Son of God. He didn't have some way in which he became the Son of God, but he's the Son of God from eternity. And the Holy Spirit was the one who taught him all things. So you don't need to ask, what did his father and mother do at home? Because it was God himself who was his teacher. Now, let's look at verses 41 and 42. Wazazi wake weli in the Jerusalem. Kila mwaka. They went for the feast or festival of the Passover. Joseph took his family to the Passover festival. That was according to the law of God. The law of God said in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, it said that every year this should take place. And it said three times a year they were to come to Jerusalem for the festivals. The first mention, verse 15, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's the Passover, to remember the time they came out of Egypt. All the men, it says, verse 17, came to appear before the Lord. So Joseph was an obedient man. God had said, remember that victory out of Egypt, that deliverance. Remember when I saved you. You were slaves, but you became a free people. You were in darkness, you came into light, and you became my people. Every year, all the men must go to Jerusalem to remember that. 1,500 years had passed, but the commandment was still there. So Joseph obeyed it. The word of God never grows old and expires. It must always be obeyed, even after 1,500 years. If you look at verse 41 here in Luke, it says his parents went every year. So Mary went also. The law just said the men should come, but also Mary was coming, surely because of her delight in God and her love for God. It was a long walk, and they walked. We can see it. They were going for a day and they didn't arrive when they were going back. It was about 70 miles. Mary had had a number of children. We have some of their names. It seems she had at least 6 or 7 children. And so it would have been hard for them. And to be away from home for a whole week, the whole week of the festival, was not easy because they were poor. But Mary had a delight in God. She had a delight in worshipping God. She was happy to remember the lamb that was slain, the blood that was shed to make Israel a free people to make them God's people? Do you have the heart of Mary? Does your heart bring you to worship God? Not just a duty, but a delight. As they went up to Jerusalem, they would sing psalms. One that surely they sang was Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul longs, it even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh cry out for the living God. Blessed are those who live in your house. They are always praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on the pilgrimage. They made their pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. They sang how happy they were to do this. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be the doorkeeper in the house of my God than to live inside the tents of the wicked. Is that your heart? Is it like Mary's heart? That's a test of whether you're converted yet. Whether you come to worship God from the heart. It's a new heart that delights in God like that. Has God given you yet a new heart to praise him? Now what we see, of course, is it was not only Mary and Joseph, but they brought Jesus with him. Verse 42, when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast. Now 12 years old, around that time, that was when a boy started to be thought of as a man, when he moved from boyhood to adulthood. I think that's pretty much around most of the world. When your son gets that age, you start to make things more serious for him and start to train him in the work he's going to do. He starts to be taught. Joseph was a carpenter, so he'd have taken Jesus, his adopted son, and started to teach him now. The time for playing had come to an end. The time for learning his trade had begun. Now we don't know. Was this the first time Jesus came to Passover? We don't know. But I think it is of significance that he comes when he's 12 years old, at that age, to his father's house, and he starts to do his father's work. He starts to learn in a deeper way his father's law, his father's words. The Bible tells us the true Passover is a true delivering out of darkness was done by Jesus at the cross. The true lamb who was slain and the true blood that was shown was shed by Jesus at Calvary. John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the true Lamb of God. As he came up at the Passover, as he considered these things, he began to know and understand in a deeper way that he was the Lamb of God, that he would take away the sins of the world. He would deliver God's people out of darkness into light, that the judgment would fall upon him and salvation would come to us. He must have had wonderful thoughts in his heart as he came up to the Passover, as he understood what God was doing. Well, what happened? Verse 43, the feast or festival ended. Mary and Joseph went on their way home, but Jesus was not with them. It seems that they traveled in a large company, not just Mary and Joseph, but their neighbors, their relatives, perhaps the whole town of Nazareth all went as one. And people, they'd have somebody else's child walking with them some of the way, and their own child walking with someone else. Mary and Joseph thought that Jesus was with them, but he was not. Where was he? Verse 46, 47. He was in the temple courts. Not in the place of the sacrifice itself, but in the courts. And there the teachers of the law were teaching. There he was learning his father's trade. That's what I was saying. As a 12-year-old, he's approaching manhood. He begins to learn his father's trade. The teachers of the law of Jerusalem, he sits to listen what they have to say and to consider it. He desired the knowledge of God. Perhaps all the days of that feast in his spare time, he was in the temple courts, listening to the scriptures being read, listening to people discussing them, eager, hungry to get knowledge of his father's teachings. Jesus was a true man. He was God and he is God, the true God. But he also became a true man, a human body, a human soul, a human mind. And as a man, he did not know everything. Now, in the divine nature, as God, he knew everything always. But the knowledge in his human mind, like ours, was limited. He had ignorance. He had things he didn't know. He had to learn in the ordinary way, through study and listening. Now, he had no sinful ignorance. There was no sinful blindness in him. Often there are things we should know them. We've been taught them many times. They're clear, they're obvious, but we don't want to see them. We have some sinful reason for ignoring those things and pushing them out and forgetting them. We prefer not to know them. Or we're slow in the things of God because our hunger is so small. Our desire for God is so small. And so we don't make the progress and we forget things we already were taught. Now that's sinful ignorance. Jesus had none of that. But he did truly learn. How he humbled himself. Oh, the eternal God who knew everything. Yet he became a learner. He became a small boy to be taught. Even sinful men opened the scriptures and taught him. And he received the things they were saying. Now, he didn't receive any of the mistakes, didn't receive any of the errors that they taught, because his holy soul could reject those. He could know when he was being led astray because he loved truth so much. But he humbled himself to be taught by other men. He came to live a whole life as a perfect man, so that as a perfect man, he could be our Saviour. That he could stand before God for us. That he could take men's sins upon himself. How he humbled himself to do that. Now, do you desire the knowledge of God like Jesus did in his human soul? One of the Psalms says, "As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you, O God." I've not seen any deer in Kenya yet, but it's an animal. We have them back in my country. You can find them on the hills in wild open country. And they can run very fast. And when they're thirsty, they can run very fast to the pools of water to put their heads in and to drink till they're satisfied. As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you, O God. Can you say those words? Have you got this heart? Do you know how to learn? The real way to learn from God. Jesus himself, he said later, John chapter 7, verse 17, he said, "If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own." How to understand the teaching of Jesus? Well, you have to obey. As you start to walk along the path, then you find it's easier, that the light is shining more brightly. But if you find some excuse to disobey, you'll find things are dark, things are difficult, things are confusing. It's by obeying the teaching you receive that you then get more teaching and you make progress. But if God gives you some teaching and you disobey it, then you'll find the rest hard to understand. The way of sinners is hard. Well, Jesus then remains in the temple, drinking in the word of God. But his parents, they go back. Verse 44, they think he's with them. But then they start looking. Have you seen Jesus today? They thought Jesus was with them, but he wasn't. And we can take that spiritually. People think Jesus is with them, and suddenly they realize he's not. They say, where is he? Have you seen him? No, he's not here. Have you seen him? No, he's not here. And everybody says, no, we haven't seen him. So verse 45, they turn round, they go back. Often we have to do that. We thought Jesus was with us, but we have to turn round and go back because we were wrong. We were in the wrong place. They search for him. They must have been very anxious, very worried. Akuwapi, where is our son? After 3 days, they found him in the temple. On the third day, verse 46. Why did it take them 3 days? Why did they not know straight away? Well, if Jesus is still somewhere in Jerusalem, he'll be in his father's house. If Jesus is still in Jerusalem, he'll be at the temple where his father is worshipped. If Jesus is still in Jerusalem, he'll be listening to his father's words. He'll be discussing the scriptures with the people who are there to discuss the scriptures. Why did it take them 3 days? The Son of God was in the house of God, doing the work of God. Well, they find him, verse 48, they're amazed. Mary, his mother, she must have been so worried. We're worried if we don't know where our children are for an hour, even for a few minutes. If we went and found that they're not all here, we'd say, where are they? After 3 days, Mary must have been so worried. And she spoke words, really, that she shouldn't have spoken out of her anxiety. Word of rebuke, verse 48. Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have anxiously been searching for you. Notice what she says, your father. Well, Joseph was his father legally by caring for him. But he wasn't conceived by Joseph. They weren't even married at the time that Jesus came by the Holy Spirit to Mary alone. But she says, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you, as if Jesus now belonged to them completely, as if there were no father except Joseph. But from that early age, Jesus knew who was his father. And so in verse 49, he says, why were you searching for me? Why all this effort? Why was it so hard? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? My father's house. There's a very gentle, respectful rebuke for Mary. Even though he's the Son of God, and even though he was right and she was wrong, yet he didn't speak harshly to his mother. That would have been wrong. But respectfully and gently, he reminded her. He was now of an age where he had to turn to his father's work. And he couldn't just be their son like any other son. He wasn't just any other son. He had a work he'd been sent into the world to do. And that work would have to come first. Jesus was devoted to our salvation, even from an early age. From an earliest age, he knew that all other things must be put aside so that he would go eventually to the cross. He knew that work of carrying our sins was coming to him, and he had to be serious in it. There were prophecies he had to fulfill. There were scriptures he had to obey. There were works that were written in the Psalms and in Moses and in the prophets. He had to complete them, every one of them. He hadn't come just for comfort and ease. He hadn't come for an easy life. He'd come for the glory of God. Have you understood these things? Verse 50 says, they, Joseph and Mary, they did not understand what he was saying to them. Amazing, isn't it, that after Mary had seen an angel, after she knew this child had come by a miracle, she'd never been with a man, after the shepherds and the wise men had come and spoken to them, after Simeon and Anna had come and spoken those great prophecies to them, after Elizabeth, her cousin, Zechariah, her cousin's husband, had spoken in prophecy to them, after Elizabeth had had a child in old age, after many years of being barren, yet still they didn't understand what Jesus was saying to them when he told them about his work and his Father. Have you understood? We preach Jesus to you, how he's the Son of God who came to die on the cross for our sins. That the whole center of the universe is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he died for our sins and he rose to be a powerful savior from death and from hell. To deliver us from the power of Satan. That God can be our Father and we can go to be with him in heaven. Have you understood these things? We're not preaching health and wealth in this life. We're not preaching an easy life. We're preaching the cross of Jesus, eternal salvation for all those who take up their cross to follow him. Have you understood? Verse 51 and 52, the last verses. Jesus returned with them to Nazareth. The time was not yet for him to enter his full-time ministry. There would be about another 18 years, 18 years to prepare, 18 years to get ready. 18 years for Israel to repent and to turn to the Lord and to be ready for his coming. The time was not yet. He had growing to do. He was not fully grown. At verse 52, so he went and he grew in wisdom and in stature. Inwardly and outwardly he grew. He went back, verse 51, and he was obedient. He came to pass through each stage of life. Jesus had been a baby, been a young boy. He'd been a man also. Jesus sanctified, he made holy every part of life. Little children can say, Jesus was a little child. Youths can say, Jesus was a youth. Grown men can say, Jesus was a grown man. In this stage of life, as a boy, he was obedient. Verse 51, he was obedient to them. And if we've learned anything from God, surely we've learned God wants us to be obedient. Salvation doesn't make us disobedient, unruly, lawless people. It makes us obedient people. As I said, that's the only time in the youth of Jesus that we read about. From the time he stopped being a baby up to where he is a man, this is the only thing we read about. But what do we read? We read he came to do his Father's will. We read he knew he couldn't just live an ordinary life and take his life easy. We read he was devoted to the word and service of God. For our salvation. His whole life was lived to bring us this salvation. To learn the way he had to walk in. And then to walk in it. To the horrible death of the cross. Mary and Joseph hadn't yet really understood these things. Have you understood these things? Have you trusted in Jesus? Is he your Saviour today?